So good morning. My name is Megan Taylor. I'm a PhD candidate at Purdue University. I'm advised by Dr. Yiwei Zhang, and today I'm going to talk about how quality, flowering, and biomass are all related. So this is a collaborative project with the University of Wisconsin at Madison. So Dr. Carl Eric Tornquist and then Dr. Mike Kassler, they've collaborated with us on this project. So a little bit about switchgrass. We've kind of heard a little already this morning, but switchgrass is a native prairie grass, and we see it in North America. And we have two main ecotypes. So we have our lowland type, which is characterized as having fewer tillers, less leaf material. Typically, it will flower later and incur more biomass. So we have our lowland types occurring in the southern U.S. And we also have our upland types. And our upland types are occurring in the northern U.S. and then southern Canada. And our upland types typically have more leaf material, more tillers. They're early flowering, and typically they incur less biomass. But they are more cold hardy compared to our lowland types. So switchgrass has been identified as a possible biofuel candidate because it requires relatively low inputs, and it can yield high amounts of biomass. So if we're thinking about this whole idea of floral development related to biomass, so really, if you have a later flowering time, you're able to incur more biomass because the plant is remaining vegetative longer. So that energy that would be put into reproductive structures is now going to be put into vegetative growth. So when we're thinking about switchgrass, if we have a later flowering type, then typically it will have more biomass. It will have more time to incur those vegetative growth structures instead of producing or becoming reproductive. So really, we're just trying to improve viability overall. But part of improving viability is not only improving our amount of biomass that we can produce, but really the quality of that biomass. So is the quality going to yield itself to being efficient to converting to bioenergy, into bioethanol? So really, this is where the cell wall components are going to come into play. So thinking about, there are certain cell wall components that really limit the conversion into ethanol, so specifically lignin. Lignin is one that kind of is detrimental to that process of converting into ethanol. So this really has led to the objective, or what we're really going to talk about today, is are there relationships between our quality traits in our flowering time and our biomass accumulation. So how does flowering really interact, or how is this relationship with flowering and our quality traits? What more do we need to know? And then also, are there relationships that are existing with biomass and our quality traits? So again, this is all to improve this viability of switchgrass becoming a bioenergy crop. And so our study took place in Lafayette, Indiana. And so this is in the USDA plant hardiness zone number 5. And so when we're thinking about our plot was an AED design, so it's an augmented experimental design. So our plot was 19.2 meters in width, and then it was 40.2 meters in length. Our plot was designed with 5 blocks. These 5 blocks were replicated 2 times, and then each of the gold boxes in our plot were the controls. So these were the parents, the grandparents, and the aunts and uncles of our population that we used in this research. So our population is a cross between an Ellsworth, which is an lowland type, so again that's the later flowering, the southern type, and then we have our summer, and summer is an upland type, so again this is the early flowering type. So these were crossed and created a subsequent F1 generation. So through another cycle of breeding, we were able to produce a pseudo F2 population that contains around 250 unique genotypes. And so these crosses were created by Dr. Mike Kassler at the University of Wisconsin in 2013. And so in 2014, these plants were established in the Lafayette location. And so to measure and to score our heading and flowering, so our floral development, what I would do is I would go out, and each genotype got its own individual score. So this was pulling the tillers together. Once 50% of the tillers showed a panicle emerging, these were scored as the date that it was heading. And heading, again, was taken from January 1st to the current day. So it's the number of days from January 1st that we count for the heading score. And for floral emergence, similarly, we collected, again, pulled together all of the tillers, looked at the panicles. Once 50% of the panicles had flowered, this was counted as floral emergence or flowering. And then this data was collected in the summer of 2015 and the summer of 2016. And so as we're moving into our cell wall components, so once we're through the summer, they've had time to grow. Once we have our first hard-killing frost, we go in and we actually sample each of our switchgrass by hand. So each genotype was individually cut and then subsequently weighed. So we would go in, the whole plant sample was cut, they were weighed, and then a representative 10 tillers were pulled. These were randomly pulled from our switchgrass samples. These 10 tillers were then weighed and then dried at 60 degrees Celsius for 3 days. And once the drying was complete, they were weighed once more, and then they were coarse ground through a 6 millimeter screen, and then I used a UD fine grinder through a 0.5 millimeter screen to create our fine ground samples that will be used for our NIRS. So NIRS was used to estimate the cell wall components for this project. And so NRS is the near infrared reflectance spectrometry. And so we used a FOSS 6500 for our machine to run our samples. And the calibrations for switchgrass are well known, and so it's been previously published in Vogel et al. 2011. So this is where the calibration came for this, the calibration came for our samples to be predicted from. So we have our spectrum of the unknown samples. So those are our samples. They are then scanned, where you have the calibration from the Vogel et al., and from that calibration equation, it will yield a prediction for the unknown sample. So we yield a prediction. This prediction calculates a global H statistic, and a global H statistic simply tells you how far away your sample was from what the calibration equation should tell you. And so if it's too far, so greater than 3 in this case, then those samples were kicked out of our data set because they were not accurately predicted. And so these scans were completed at the USDA ARS Dairy Forage Center in Madison, Wisconsin. So now we're going to be moving into our results section. And so what we're looking at in our first table are the summary of the cell wall components that were chosen. And these cell wall components were chosen because they were correlated with either anthesis or biomass. And then we also looked at the interaction for the year, genotype, and replication, and then subsequent interactions between those three factors for our quality traits that were chosen. So we have the quality trait abbreviation in our first column. We have the name of that quality trait in the next column. And then we have the significant interactions for those quality traits in the last column. So when we're looking at the significant interactions for all of our quality traits that were sampled, we had some form of interaction occurring, whether it was year, replication, genotype, or some combination of year, rep, and genotype. So as we go forward, just keep that in mind. And so first we're going to start with biomass. So we're looking at the correlations between biomass and the cell wall components. And so we have our quality trait abbreviation in the first column. We have the direction of the correlation, so whether it was negatively correlated or positively correlated with biomass in the next column, and then the significance level. And the significance level for our correlation coefficients was 0.001. So the traits that were chosen were also chosen based on the significance level of the correlation. So when our quality traits that were negative, we have sugar and crude protein, we have Clausen lignin and acid detergent lignin, as well as acid detergent fiber. So these were all negatively correlated with biomass. As we move down, we see that we have a positive correlation with our neutral detergent fiber, our nitrogen level, our in vitro dry matter digestibility, and then the cell wall concentration. So one to point out that we will talk about in the summary is Clausen lignin is negatively correlated with biomass. So just keep that in the back of your mind. We'll talk about it more in the summary. Moving on to the correlations with anthesis for our cell wall components. So again, we have the quality trait abbreviation in the first column. We have the direction of the correlation, so whether it's negative or positive. We also have the significance level, which again was 0.001 for our samples. And so to point out some interesting ones, crude protein, acid detergent lignin, and ADF, so acid detergent fiber, these were all negatively correlated with biomass and with enthesis for the cell wall components. So this is an important one to point out. Also, nitrogen, cell wall concentration, and in vitro dry matter digestibility, these were also negatively or positively correlated with biomass and with enthesis. So we're seeing some consistency between these relationships with our traits. So just in summary, so there were significant interactions observed in relation to the genotype, the year, and replication for the cell wall traits, and this makes sense because we are using a segregating population, so each of these genotypes are going to react differently. So we had 250 again. Also the year, so 2015 was a very, very wet year in Indiana, so this could have caused some environmental impacts. And then within our replications, we did see some significant interactions as well. So colostin lignin was negatively correlated with biomass. So that means that as the biomass increases, our lignin level is going down, which is a little bit counterintuitive because when we think about lignin, lignin makes 15% to 35% of the total biomass. Like that's the percentage of the total biomass. So this was something to think on. And then the significant correlations for the in vitro dry matter digestibility, the cell wall concentration, and nitrogen, they existed for both biomass and enthesis. So we're seeing some consistency between these relationships between enthesis and biomass. And so I just want to say thank you to Joe Handler from the USDA, the ARS from the Dairy Forage Center. He completed the scans for the NIRS. And also I want to thank Dr. Jang's, my lab members, because they helped me harvest all these switchgrass by hand, and it's really not a fun process. And I would also like to thank our funding organization, so the Department of Energy. And I will take any questions at this time. Okay, so the question was, when I would go out and score the switchgrass for the heading or flowering, was it more similar to one parent or the other? So the really great thing about my plot is that we had the actual parents and grandparents in each block. So it was pretty split even. It made almost a perfect distribution. So we didn't have any of our cultivars that outcompeted the parents, but we did have some that were extremely early, like our upland parent, and then extremely late, like our lowland parent, but it was a pretty equal distribution. And we had a lot in the center of that distribution. So, you know, early June to late June, when they started heading, that was kind of where we started to see them break away into separate groups, so the early, middle, and late flowering types. Yes. So the NDF was positively correlated, and then the acid detergent fiber was negatively correlated.
Wow. So can you help me understand that maybe a little bit better? I'm not sure if I, to me, I would think that they'd both be positive, but maybe I'm thinking about something wrong here, but I was just curious if you had any thoughts on that.
So the way I was thinking about it is with the neutral detergent fiber, that to me just represents how much of it is actually going to be, if it was a ruminant, how much of it is easily digestible. And then the acid detergent, for me, I always understand it is what's left over. And so for me, I'm not really sure why the neutral detergent fiber is positive and then the ADF is negative, but for this study, I didn't really think about it too much because we're not going to use it as a forage crop. But the digestibility, so the NDF, that was the more important component for me because we want these feedstocks to be digestible to make this bioenergy, so that was what I was focusing on. Does that help?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you.